And it is another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for tuning in, whether that be listening live at Joy 620 or the podcast over at iTunes or Google Play or TuneIn app, wherever podcasts are found. You can also go to investinghope.com and you can learn more about what we're doing at Hope Resource Center, and you can get the podcast there as well. So we are in interesting times, to say the least. We are right in the middle of COVID-19. The coronavirus is sweeping not just the nation, but the globe, and we're seeing a number of things happening. We're seeing businesses and restaurants change their hours, even close. We're seeing grocery stores say that the first 2 hours that they're open, only seniors can come in. We're seeing schools close. My kids' schools closed until April. Knox County schools here locally are closed until April. University of Tennessee is saying, hey, we're not even going to have a commencement. We're not going to have a graduation. And I'll just say, for those of you that are nervous about that, I never walked. I got my degree, and I'm doing just fine. So if you don't get to walk, it's okay. But today what I wanted to do is bring in a guest, and I wanted to talk directly to, I know people that are listening to this, some of them are directly involved in pregnancy centers, some indirectly involved in pregnancy centers. So I wanted to bring in Jorel Gotze, who is the president of Heartbeat International, which is an umbrella organization working with pregnancy centers and doing amazing work. And they had a big event scheduled in Seattle that I was going to go to and participate in. And because of the coronavirus, Seattle made some restrictions, and so that event is no longer happening. But on top of that, what we wanted to do today is just have a conversation about the work that's being done in pregnancy centers, and that even though we find ourselves in this moment of uncertainty, that the reality is unplanned pregnancies are not going to take a break, that there are still women in our communities that need to be served and loved on, and pregnancy centers are still opening their doors across this country. And so, Jorel, thanks so much for taking some time out today. I know your schedule is probably pretty hectic right now, and so just thank you for joining us. Give us a little background of your experience in pregnancy centers, and give us a quick summary of Heartbeat International.
Thanks, Andrew. It's great to be with you. My own background is pregnancy centers. I got involved with pregnancy centers back in 1991 as a volunteer and then a board member, and then eventually became a staff member and then an executive director. Started in Florida and Colorado, and then eventually came to Heartbeat International, where I get to work with folks all over the country and across the globe that who are working diligently on this. I get to see a wonderful part of the body of Christ in action through pregnancy help, and so it's a great privilege to serve in this community.
Awesome. Well, as we look at this, let's first get a sense for what times we're living in. I mean, we have gone from just a few weeks ago to, you know, this isn't that big a deal, and it's an issue in China, it's an issue some other places, but it's not an issue here, to now, just most recently, that they've come out and said, don't be in groups larger than 10 people. Churches close their doors on Sunday, and people are streaming services. As a believer, as a Christian watching this, and it just really is an observer of history, what's your sense, what's your takeaway in all of this as the pandemic kind of makes its way to every corner of our globe?
Well, it's been interesting to watch for us. You know, we are Heartbeat International, so we've been actually in touch with some Italians and kind of get a inside glimpse on what they're dealing with. But one of our network partners in Italy is a doctor, and he's been very involved, very close to this issue. And so it's been very interesting to observe. You know, he described it in an email to us about having to bow out of our conference earlier than we had made a final plan on that it was like dealing in a war zone. So I understand the challenges that some of our internationals, and some of those are being used as examples for what we may be facing. But what's been interesting to watch is how believers respond. And like anyone else, we're subject to the hype of panic. I find that the people that are watching the news most often are probably the most heightened for concerns about what may happen, how it may go, how it may work out. And sometimes we just need to turn off those influences and then focus on what we know to be true. God is still on his throne. He is not unaware of the situation. One of the realities about our own conference, which is set to happen in a few weeks in Seattle, of all places, King County, The epicenter from our country where it kind of has begun was the fact that God knew that was the case 3 years ago when we signed the contract. He knew what situation we'd be facing. He knew the environment. And I could make a case that had our conference been anywhere else in the country, we might have been under different types of pressure, but did not have the same opportunity since our conference was in the very spot where our country first began to really wrestle with this in a, from a government perspective. Then we were kind of, in a sense, in the right place to be able to know sooner rather than later that we could shift our conference. It is going to happen, by the way. It's going to happen in an online format, but it's awesome. Just not going to happen in person in Seattle.
Yeah, and I think that's important to note that, you know, there are some folks, and you know, my generation, for instance, is saying, look, this is a, I was listening to something earlier, and somebody said this is a boomer virus, which is very, to me, that's an anti-life statement. But there's a sense of, hey, we, you know, this isn't affecting my generation. It's not affecting my kids. And I heard that one of the doctors, when the president was given his the press conference the other day, one of the doctors stepped up and said, this is an opportunity for us to protect the greatest generation. And so what that means is that the greatest generation years ago fought in a war to give us the freedoms we have today. And now maybe my generation has to look at this and go, okay, I may not be affected necessarily directly by this virus, but my mom and my grandparents may be. And so the last thing I want to do is bring that virus to their doorstep. And so as we look at that, and as we try our best to get a sense and somehow balance the extreme narrative that, hey, this is the worst thing we've ever seen. And then you go to the other extreme of people saying this isn't even real. We don't need to have any concern about it. As a Christian with a biblical worldview, we're looking at this and trying our best to go, okay, I want to be logical. I want to be rational. I also want to have discernment. As we try our best to, I mean, if you watch any of the news stories, it's insane what we're seeing coming out of cable news when we're trying our best to decide what's the best direction. So when you were finding yourself meeting with your team about Seattle, and I know Seattle was a little bit different because they had a lot of deaths because the one nursing home, had an infection and it just kind of made its way through that place. But as y'all were getting together as a team, what were some things you were talking about, some prayers that you were putting together to say, okay, what's the best route for us as we try to figure out our next step?
Well, initially, frankly, we were just intent on going. You know, there's this sense that some of this plays into fear. Fear is not of God. It's not something that He places in us, except for fear as in reverence and awe. And so part of it is I'm always kind of sensitive to being motivated by fear, because then I feel like, hey, something's behind that. And I'm not talking about the people that are announcing it, although they can be contributing to it. But is this the enemy of our souls in action here? And then that gets me kind of, want to straighten my spine, lift my head and say, we are going to go to Seattle. And in part, that's where I was at, because right. If anywhere in our country needs an infusion of life and light, you know, the gospel, it is certainly the Northwest. You know, one of the most unchurched areas as far as Barna reports, one of the most unchurched areas in our country is that area. So we were very much intent. This is going to be exciting. This is going to work. And so initially, that's kind of where our heads were at. But as things begin to happen and the local authorities begin to constrict and constrain movement, meetings, they were the first with the large gatherings, which suddenly got our attention. Now, to this day, that has not extended beyond March as far as the local government is concerned. Of course, the CDC has talked about it differently now and literally in the last 48 hours. And so we were really in this pattern of go, 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 and then we began to see people react. And some of them had, like you were talking about, mom and dad and grandma and grandpa, I mean, in a pregnancy help community are folks that have been great seasoned leaders, but they are in the high-risk population that the virus has been affecting. And so they began to express concerns. Of course, some of others that were traveling, now we're going to be traveling from other countries, from across the country. How is travel? You start to look at all those stories, and it was understandable that people were making decisions about themselves, but we were focused on making it happen even if it was smaller, until it began to be impossible to do that because of the fact that the entire government is just locking various things down, and then that's making it difficult even to imagine leaving our responsibilities in our own homes as much well as our own ministries to now go somewhere else and participate in something. And so all of those things began to kind of weigh into it, but throughout it all was like, Lord, what would you have us do? Because if it's a battle, then we want to go to battle if that's what he's called us to. But at the same time, we also have to realize that there's a time to, as you know, it talks about in Scripture, there's a time to tear up, tear down, and to time to build up. So we began to realize that the time now was to do something different, and that really caused us to step back and say, all right, well, how can, and that's right where we are right now, is how can we reimagine and re-envision our mission in light of the current situation?
And I think in a similar way, what we have seen with even pastors across the country is making that decision. Do we open our doors on Sunday, or do we close our doors on Sunday and do a streaming? I don't even like the phrase online church. That's not... I don't think you'll find that in Scripture, but I do think there's a sense of pastors and leaders, Christian leaders, wrestling with when is it an overreach by the government? When is it we are participants in our communities and we want to make sure we're doing our part? And then when it is a cop out? And so I think as those that are listening to this, I would first say pray for your pastors, pray for the leaders that are making those difficult decisions and having those difficult conversations. I would also say to take this serious. We know that we do our best to watch all of this unfold and make sure that we're taking the proper steps. We're doing that at Hope as we're putting in protocols and have signage up and screening, you know, patients before they get to Hope about are you coughing, are you symptomatic, those type things, because we want to make sure that we're keeping our staff safe as well as volunteers and anyone else safe. And so it's a process that isn't as easy as just saying, well, cancel it or have it. Just do, pick one. And I know that, you know, I was corresponding with you throughout, you know, the last couple weeks of kind of what's it look like. And I know others were corresponding with you. And I would say, did you feel those prayers? Did you get the responses that you hoped you would get from folks of reaching out and saying, hey, whatever decision you feel led to make, we're behind you? Did you feel like you had the support? Do you feel like you have that now? Or do you feel like it's still somewhat chaotic and people are just trying to figure out what's going on?
All of the above, Andrew. We had people who were concerned, obviously for their own health or the health of their team members who might be in high-risk populations. And we had others who were like, oh, I'm going. In fact, someone was funny on Facebook. They said, hey, if you cancel this, don't tell my husband because I'm going to go to Seattle no matter what. You know?
That's funny.
You know, obviously that was a light moment, but it was also an expression of we're going to do this. We're looking forward to this. The mission of our conference, just like the mission of the church, is bigger than the moment. Now, how do we fulfill our mission in the moment? Like, that remains the question. So we felt those that were saying, we're with you no matter what. If you're going, we're going. But then I think there were lots of people that were relieved that when we weren't going, then good, okay, you know, I'm glad for that opportunity not to have to face into that. And so we understand that. And I think that's what all of our local communities, all of our local centers are dealing with as well. I was just checking in with our folks at Option Line, which is a program run by Heartbeat International, online 24/7. We have a contact center that we have people that answer the phones as well as chat 24/7, 365. And so we're seeing actually our phone calls have increased in the last couple of days by 50%.
Oh wow!
So that's a lot of people reaching out. There's a lot of concerns that are in the midst. Some centers have closed. We've been contacted by maybe a few dozen. And about half of them are altering their hours. They're making accommodations. They're at least going to be open on the phone so that they can have that initial interaction or receive a call from Option Line, or maybe they can have a serving by appointments only, you know, with asking the initial questions over the phone and then meeting together. Others are having to make a decision to close, whether that's their own concerns regarding their staff and their team and what they've faced, or that's just a wisdom based upon, you know, what they feel like they're going to be able to do. Either way, we understand that, but that's, you know, different centers are making different decisions.
Yeah, it's you know, I keep going back to anytime anybody says anything, I just keep going, you know, interesting times. It's an interesting time to be alive right now. I don't have any. I'm pretty good with words, and that's really all I can say. Interesting times. And so when we come back from the break, I want to go into more of, okay, now that we find ourselves in this place, what's some peace and comfort that we can bring to folks as Christians step up in this dark time? What light can we bring to this chaotic, uncertain time? We'll talk more when we come back.
Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me.
So as we continue the conversation with Joriel Gotze from Heartbeat International, you know, one thing that I keep being reminded about during this uncertain and chaotic time of the coronavirus, I think sometimes as Christians, we act as if the tomb is not empty. We act as if Jesus is just roaming around, waiting. I even told somebody this morning, because we're wondering, you know, are Easter services going to be affected by this? And you know, the reality is, even if we can't have a typical Easter service, that doesn't change the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. And so as we look at this from a biblical worldview, what are your thoughts on that? As we have these conversations and we see the news stories coming out, and you see uncertainty and you see chaos and you see people just running to the grocery stores and a lot of fear that comes with that, what is the responsibility of the Christian during these times of darkness? Not just during these times, but every day. But what is the response of the Christian during these times?
Great question, Andrew. I keep going back to the scripture that talks of, I mean, how many scriptures are there that say, do not, you know, be not afraid? And this is the time. If it's ever a time, it's easy for us, particularly in the U.S. or in the Western world, to say those words and not fully understand what it means to others who are in economic crisis, who are in you know, physical danger, you know, their living places are not safe. But for us in general, those are not our typical things, but this now is for all of us. Be not afraid. And then adding on to that, I would say that we need to have peace, the very peace that Christ talks about that passes all understanding. Have peace, speak peace, meaning that we're conveying that peace to others, and then live in peace, so that we're really living that sense of calm, that sense of clarity, that we are connected to a God who is above this situation, that it is that Holy Spirit that is in Him, that we live and move and have our being, and that those are the kind of things that we should be meditating on, you know, like keep calm and carry on. That's been overused a bit, but that's a reality for us as believers.
Well, I think if we're honest, some of us need to put social media down. Some of us need to turn off Fox News, turn off CNN, turn off MSNBC, turn off cable news. Some of us just need to use this time as a chance to step back and reevaluate. I mean, I'm guilty of getting so much into the news and never turning it off, whether it be Twitter or you know, reading articles online or cable news, whatever it is. I mean, it's just a constant noise in my life. And if I'm not careful, it becomes the defining noise in my life. And so it takes me away from my children. It takes me away from my family. And so for me, what I've been trying to do during this time, even I found myself last night having a conversation at the dinner table with the family and starting to pick up on, my kids are listening to all of it. You know, I have four kids. The oldest is 9. The youngest is 2. And all of them are looking at this differently. And they what's the coronavirus? And why? I'm concerned about it, or I'm scared, and trying to bring comfort to them because now, okay, school is going to be out for an extended period of time. So why is school out? So you have those conversations and that dialogue. But if we're not careful, we, even as believers, believe the lie that that the news and the story of the day becomes our life, and it drains us. And I just would caution people to take stock of their own life and go, okay, am I bent toward getting too much into that? And if I am, I need to turn some things off and create some barriers in my life. For some people, they're like, look, I'm already detached. I don't have social. My dad doesn't have internet, doesn't have social media, but man, does he have talk radio, and he has other things. And so there's always those things that speak into our lives. And I would say in this moment, look for, like you were saying, that peace. Let the word speak into your life. So what other things would you offer up, not just to pregnancy center leaders, although I think some folks are going to be listening to this and seeking out that, but just in a time as people are finding some uncertainty and chaos and the stock market continues to go down and you hear the narrative of, hey, just go home and work from home. Well, the reality is the vast majority of the populace cannot do that. And you know, or just close your restaurant. Well, if that's their livelihood, that's going to be hard for them to just close their restaurant. My dad milks cows twice a day, every single day. He can't do that from the living room, you know. And so what's some peace and comfort that you can bring to some of those folks that are just trying to live over the next few days, weeks, and possibly months?
Well, and what you just described is what we don't know. Is it days? Is it weeks? Is it possibly months? You know, that's why we have to take a longer view, particularly, you know, those that are in the stock market. We can all get riled by what's happening in the moment, but these things have happened before. God was not surprised. Where is he in these moments? And is he on Fox News or CNN? is he in these things? I don't know. I tend to think that we can't hear him clearly when we're hearing all those other voices that you so well described, Andrew. Those begin to take preeminence over what we know of God and what we know of his character and what he calls us to be. And so I just keep coming back to, hey, let's close off this stuff. This is actually a great time when we're in Ohio anyway, the restaurants are closing, the movies and other right. things are closing, and then my kids are home. I have one that goes to college in Tennessee and one that goes to college in Indiana. They're back in. So we're having a great time as a family. Look for those opportunities and remember what it is to connect individually, that our ultimate hope is not in safety per se, but it's in the security of where our future is in Christ. So we need to kind of balance what are our expectations. You know, did he promise us safety from everything? And I would say the answer is no. Now, we can walk with wisdom and discernment, but we also need to have a comfort that wherever we go and whatever happens, God will be with us. And we continue to pray. We continue to speak life to one another, which is not fear, but speak life. And then walk in faith.
And as we do that, and there's going to be some people listening to this and saying, yeah, I appreciate that thought, but I work at a nonprofit, or I work at a church, or I partner with a nonprofit, or I partner with my church, and I'm expected to tithe, and these are uncertain times, and what does that look like? And so let's talk about the importance of understanding. And I posted this last night because I think in a time like this, it's easy to forget about some of the ministries that do so much in our society that aren't taking a day off. I mean, here in Tennessee, just a few weeks ago, we had a terrible tornado sweep through Middle Tennessee, and you had ministries step up to help out in those times, and you have pregnancy centers across the country stepping up, still opening their doors, taking care of those in need. You have churches that are still leading and shepherding. There are needs in our communities. And so what would you say to those folks that are nervous about what donations may look like? Folks that are saying, I don't know, should I hold on to my funds right now and cut out some of the donations that I've been making, with banquets coming up and things like that? What's some comfort that you can bring in your experience to those folks?
Well, primarily the context is, where did it come from? Did it come from these other sources, or did it come from God? And I have to believe that God has provided these things, and while he encourages us to work, he gives us the ability to work, and that's how we get it, and that ultimately it all belongs to God. whether we're tithing or giving gifts or contributions, whatever those may be, our provision comes from the hand of God. So we have to remember that that's how He supplies us. And frankly, if He had to do manna from heaven and put stuff on the ground again, then that's entirely within His scope of practice, as we would see in Scripture. But I think from a nonprofit perspective, we have to practice concern for those that we serve. And I don't just mean the clients, but for those that are the patients, I mean those that we have become friends with, that are supporters. Are we concerned about them? Are we reaching out to ask what their needs are? Are we praying for them and communicating our concern for them? And then, of course, continue that mindset of care for our own team. Are we watching out for those that are themselves in need of concern of our concern as well? And then our clients and how they're being helped. Not the ones that we know will come in tomorrow, but the ones that might have come in a few weeks ago. And we think, we know their situation is very tenuous. We know they have an hourly job at one of the restaurants that might have closed. How are we reaching out to them? And I think in that idea of looking outwardly beyond ourselves to those that we might be able to help, we will be then walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, because that's what the Holy Spirit's doing. And we will feel that connection. We'll feel that strength when our vision becomes more about what others are experiencing and how we can serve others. Then I think that's God's best opportunity to pour into our need.
Amen. I think that's great. And we're going to continue this conversation on the other side. We'll be back. Some come and be chambers. Come and be fearless. Come to the foot of Calvary. Cause there is redemption for every affliction. Here at the foot of Calvary. So the conversation continues today with Jor-El Gotsi from Heartbeat International. Thank you so much again for taking some time out and joining us today. I think hopefully this conversation is fruitful and helpful for a number of folks. As we continue to look at this, there's going to be some folks out there, whether they're involved in a pregnancy center or they're connected to a pregnancy center, and they're saying, look, our fundraising event is in March, or our fundraising event is in April, or we have a partnership dinner coming up. As people are walking through what that looks like, could you give us a glimpse in some of the conversations, some of the questions that were asked as y'all were looking at the decision? And I know it was on a larger scale of what y'all had to do in Seattle. But what are some questions, some conversations that need to be had as those decisions are made and with those leadership teams?
Well, that's a great question. Not only was I looking at the Heartbeat Conference in April, which, of course, is 1,000 people from all over the country and even other parts of the world, but I was also at a banquet just a week ago on Thursday night, and I had the sense that there were people wanted to come out, even though that there's all this, hey, you ought not be in gatherings of 50 or more or whatever. Right. There is a sense of wanting to participate. So part of this is trying to figure out what is important for your local community, like what's happening in your local community. We certainly don't want to be contributors to the curve, so to speak, and we want to be part of flattening the curve, as so many people are talking about.
Right.
But I think we really need to have a sense of who is in our community and what are their expectations. And this is a time, and this here's one thing that I thought was critical, is as everything gets unsettled, then that gives us more footing to unsettle what we're used to. That we can say, you know what, everyone realizes this is a weird time, so we may have to come up with some very creative ways to address the same thing. So our in-person meeting, we're a ministry at pregnancy centers, and certainly church is built on relationship with those that we serve, relationship with those that help us serve. So it's understandable that we want to find places for that relationship to happen, which is very common for us to do get-togethers and rub shoulders and talk face-to-face and shake hands and do all of that. That's just part of the who we are as a people, how we prefer to operate in. But now it's time to look for alternatives, and particularly if you're talking about an event in March, it seems like everything is moving in the wrong direction for that to happen. Early April, our conference is in mid-April. I would say that these are times that some people are suggesting that these things may be going on into May and maybe beyond.
Right.
So all of these things are going to be really relevant to say, what are we collectively deciding? This is a great conversation for a board to have, in either a church board or a pregnancy center board, to say, what are we sensing, what are we feeling, and how does that relate to our missional needs? And these are good questions to be asking and to getting answers that are specific to each ministry.
Yeah, and I think, too, while you're having those conversations, I would encourage you to be looking and seeing, okay, if we, let's say our event is scheduled for late April. Okay, well, so far, most of the closings and the bands are happening, you know, late March, maybe the first week of April. But one thing you need to factor in, okay, well, if we stick to that date, if we stick to that event, well, what if something changes? If we make a decision now to call an audible, and like you said, the environment is one where most of the people that are signed up are going to understand and expect almost, hey, there's probably going to be a change. And so if you make that decision today, then you have weeks, you have time to put things in place to let people know of that. If you wait, and then the CDC comes out again and says, look, we really believe we need to cut out everything in the month of April as well, well, then you've let that go a little too far. And so I would just say, take a chance to realistically look at this. And like you were saying, it's a great opportunity. If we are a glass half full people, and I would say that we should be optimistic. If we're gospel people, we have a lot of hope that even in the midst of this chaos and brokenness, we already know who wins. We know how this ends for everyone. And so we celebrate that fact. And so use this as an opportunity to go, maybe this is a chance for us to do that thing that we've kind of wanted to do, but we're a little nervous to do, but this gives us an opportunity to host a virtual event. Not to say that's going to take over and be our go-to every single year. And certainly the church isn't going to say, well, we're just going to be online from here on out. But there are moments where we can look at the landscape before us and go, okay, we can call this audible. We can make it happen. We can rally our supporters, and people will get behind us. And I'm sure that was y'all's experience. When you made that change in Seattle, I'm assuming, and I don't think I would be wrong in saying this, is that people rally behind you and are looking forward to hear what the next step is.
Yeah, that's true. The people, you know, certainly are understanding of the need to change, and of course our commitment is to make something that's in its place. And I think this is the same thing that would happen with events that are fundraisers. I know some of the governors that have been speaking, you know, when they've had made changes, they realize that they're impacting some of these types of events, and people will understand. I think the issue is do we have a compelling call to action for our mission? And this is where, as you alluded to at the very beginning, you know, there are people that are pregnant now and they are at risk. The abortion clinics haven't closed,
right?
Those things are still happening. So we have to be kind of constantly mindful of our mission. And how we express that mission, because we can do that in a variety of ways. We can do it online. We can have a Facebook Live event, simple as that, or we can have a little more involved event that is using other types of technology or software services, or we can just do a really good appeal, whether it's by email or even the old snail mail. You know, the good news is right now the USPS is still delivering stuff into our mailboxes. And usually our mailboxes are far away, so that's good social distancing, right?
That's
so
right.
There's these good opportunities, I think, that we can pursue, and people will understand, but it's going to mean we're going to be creative in reflecting the importance of the mission in this type of environment. You know, Andrew, the truth is that we're going to see there's been some memes going around that we're going to see a baby bump here in about
right.
9 months because
right.
we're all, you know, sheltering in place or in our homes together. And so we're going to see, they're calling them the coronials, right? And then the idea that in about 13 years, we're going to call them the quarantines. But in reality, in 6 to 8 weeks, we're going to see, I think, an increase of women presenting at the abortion clinics. And we're going to need to be even more focused on helping them not feel that's their only choice.
Right. And I think the reality, too, and what I want listeners to understand is, And we rightly so. I mean, I hope we get on the other side of this and we look back and go, we kind of overreacted, but at least we flattened that curve and we did, you know, the country got together and did what they needed to do. But the sad reality is, since 1973, we have seen roughly 3,000 abortions every day. And we haven't shut anything down. And the abortion clinics are still running rampant. And they're even the other day when they were trying to put legislation in place to help those during this time of the coronavirus, you had certain politicians seeking to fund abortions with taxpayer dollars. And so those things don't go away because we have a pandemic. And if you are a life supporter and someone that wants to stand with those organizations that stand for the truly most vulnerable in our society, then this is an opportunity to partner with those pregnancy centers that, I mean, we were emailing and having conversations over the weekend about what are our protocols going to be because we're opening our doors on Monday. You know, what kind of things can we put in place to make sure that we're protecting our staff and protecting our patients, but ultimately still serving the populace and those that are in need and those that need assistance with an unplanned pregnancy. And so pregnancy centers are going to continue to do that. Now, granted, there are some across the state and across this country that are having to make some tougher decisions. I know of one in the state of Tennessee where the board chair actually has the virus. And so they've had to quarantine and shut down buildings and things like that. And they need to do that to protect those that would walk in the building. But there's other centers that are still going to open, that are still going to serve because, again, those needs are not going to take a break because a virus is moving along around this country. And I appreciate so much what Heartbeat does and the other umbrella organizations that come and support pregnancy centers, because it's in these times where I was telling other directors the other day, I was like, this is when we know if our policies and procedures are worth their salt or not. This is where we know that our staff has actually read the policy manual and understand the next steps. This is where we know if our board's ready, if our medical executive committee is ready. And what we have found, at least this week so far, is we haven't missed a beat. And those things have mattered for us. And it goes to show that the partnership and the support that we have from places like Heartbeat that allows for us to do that and work day to day at a place like Hope Resource Center.
Well, Hope is a great example of excellent, not just an excellent ministry, certainly providing excellence in their service, but also really leading and encouraging others to walk out the mission with faith, with fearlessness. I appreciate that, Andrew, from you guys, and you've always been a great example of that, and I look forward to, you know, we do look forward to the moment, like, what are we going to be telling you? You got young kids, you know, there's
going to
be this
four,
thing,
yeah.
You know, 10 years from now, we're going to be looking back, talking about it. It's going to be really fun to talk about what God has been doing, because I've heard of a center that was reached out, they had to cancel their event altogether, and they had a donor reach out to them and said, look, I'll cover the cost for the next 3 months.
Oh, wow.
Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, so there are those kind of stories out there waiting to happen.
Absolutely. And you know, that's interesting when they say there's going to be a baby boom in the next little bit. I would just say I have four little kids at home, and I don't even know when that could possibly occur. It's just it's a process. You know, when you have a large family, it's a little bit more difficult. But what you may find is these young couples that don't have any kids right now, 9 months from now, they may certainly have one. And so, Jor-El, thank you so much for joining us today. We are grateful for the work that y'all are doing. We're praying for Heartbeat. As even with the conference and some changes there, what we know is the calls are still coming in. There are still women in our communities that are facing unplanned pregnancies. And the beautiful thing about the gospel work that we get to do is there's going to be somebody on the other end of that line, on the other end of that door, ready and willing to serve in their time of need. So thank you so much for the work that you do. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Andrew.
We'll talk to you soon. Today's been fun. We had a good conversation with Jor-El Gotze from Heartbeat International, the president of Heartbeat International. You can learn more about them online, and they're doing great work, not just here in the country, but around the globe as they are standing up and standing with moms in need. And so love what they're doing and just a great ministry and the great support for pregnancy centers across this country and across the world. And so go and learn more about them. We're certainly thankful that that Jarrell joined us today. And man, we're just, it's you know, unprecedented times. We are in interesting times, to say the least, as we try our best to grapple with what's going on. You know, I was talking with someone today, and I said, you know, back during World War II, now, I wasn't around then, but what we do know is there was, we could see, like, our brothers, our dads, our cousins, our neighbors were going off to war to fight an enemy. And so we all rallied around, and you know, different plants became airplane manufacturers and ammunition manufacturers, and a lot of people went to work to rally around and fight the enemy. And then back during 9/11, what we had was we could see the rubble. We saw the planes hit the building. We saw the buildings come down. We saw our president standing on the rubble when he said, I can't hear you, or I can hear you, and soon the terrorists that knocked these buildings down, we're here, all of us. And so we saw that, and we saw an enemy, and we could get together and get behind and go after that enemy. And what we're finding in this time is a virus that we don't see. And really, for many of us, even the symptoms that we may get from it, we can't pinpoint, is it the flu? Is it a cold? Is it allergies? Or is it the early signs of coronavirus? And so it's a little bit more difficult. And what I would encourage you to do right now is use this as a time for opportunity, to have conversations with neighbors, or even if you're self-isolating so much that you're not seeing your neighbor, then I would use this as a time to have those conversations with your family. Have dinner around the table. I mean, what a crazy concept. That's something that we have committed to as the Wood family. Every night, every single night, we are having what I would call supper, what everybody else seems to call dinner. We have supper around the table as a family. And it's not always nice, and it's not like we're sitting there going over Bible stories and everybody's nice. I mean, some nights we yell at each other because the kids aren't eating or not listening. But we're doing that together. We're watching movies. Last night with the Wood family, we watched Good Burger, one of the great cinematic classics from 1997. Kenan and Kale, great cast. So I would encourage you to do that. Find these opportunities to do things as a family. And I would caution you, and I said this on Bob Bell's show this morning on Joy 620, and I've said it in other places, as you're having these conversations, understand where your children are at. I was a kid in fourth grade. I dealt with terrible anxiety to the point it would keep me up at night. Most nights I would not sleep hardly at all because I had worry and doubt and fear about what the next day would bring. I couldn't wait for that sun to come up. And so because of that, I understand that my kids are listening and they're taking their cues from me. And so when we have these conversations, the last thing we want to do is bring about fear and concern in our children. But they're going to know about it. There's no getting around that. They know that schools are closed. You have to tell them why schools are closed, and then that may spark up a conversation. So how are you handling that? And I would just simply encourage you to, it's like I told my daughter last night. She's six, and she said, I'm a little something about what if I get the coronavirus? That was her question. Six-year-old. And I looked at my little six-year-old, and I looked her in the eye, and I said, you let daddy worry about the heavy lifting. You just enjoy being a kid. You have nothing to worry about. And you know what? She looked at me, and she said, okay, and she closed her eyes and went to sleep. And that was after we prayed for our community, and we prayed for our president, and we prayed for our local leaders, and we prayed for those that are sick. So it doesn't mean keep things from them. It simply means that hey, they should enjoy being a six-year-old, and they shouldn't be worrying about this kind of thing. And so be smart, discern what's good and what's bad, have wisdom in these moments. And if you're listening to this, and especially if you're a pregnancy center director or somebody involved in pregnancy center work, and you have some tough decisions coming up and you need someone to bounce ideas off of, feel free to email me, andrew@knoxvillehope.com. I'm happy to have that conversation with you. I'm happy to tell you if it's a good idea or a bad idea, or I don't know, good or bad, but maybe it's worth the risk. please email me, andrew@knoxvillehope.com. Or if you're listening, you're just saying, I need someone to pray for me. I'm a little concerned. I'm worried about what's going on right now, and I don't know what to do. Shoot me an email. I'd love to pray for you. I'd love to connect with you. God is involved. He is not absent during these times. Trust that, and we know that we'll get to the other side of all of this. God is good. We'll talk to you next week.